You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Eric Rivera on The Striking Corner, and it is really good to be back. As we had promised already, we said we were going to be back full force in 2015, and this is that episode, full episode that we had promised earlier. As always, I am with my good friend, my right-hand man, Vinny Scotto. Say what's up, Vinny.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
So, Vinny, you know, a lot of things pretty much really interesting happened this weekend. A really good event took place in Texas. It was the inaugural Legacy Kickboxing event. Legacy Fighting Championships is an MMA event in Houston, and they did their inaugural kickboxing event. They decided to go into kickboxing since kickboxing is growing here in the United States. They decided to try their hand at it. So we're gonna dive into it a little bit and talk about how we felt about the fights. If you didn't see them, you can follow along with us to get an idea of what went down. And we're going to talk a little bit about what we saw at the event, what we liked, what we disliked. So Legacy Kickboxing, Vinny, I mean, the production, I thought it was a... you know what? I'm gonna go out and say I thought it was decent. I really liked the ring. I thought the graphics they used, the standardized Axis TV graphics, the same ones they used for Lion Fight. It kind of falls a little flat sometimes, but in that sense with the production, I think they did a pretty good job. Ring announcer fell a little bit flat for me. Just didn't have the pizzazz usually that some ring announcers have. And commentary, man, I just got to say it. As much as I respect Pat Miletich and being a UFC Hall of Famer and, you know, everything he did in the fight game, I think the dude's got to stick with MMA, man. I just can't. I just, when he talks about Muay Thai, it's or when he narrates the fights, man, sometimes he just drives me up the wall sometimes with some of the things he says.
I agree with that. The fights were decent. I wasn't completely impressed with the event itself. I wasn't impressed with the announcer, the commentators. I wasn't very impressed with the intros either. I thought they were a little dragged out. Like the fighters walked out and they would just stand there for about 20 seconds before they actually walked to the ring. I think it was too close to pro wrestling for me.
What do you mean by that? Too close to pro? I mean, I don't think they were over the top or anything. I mean, the walk-in or what?
The walk-in itself, just, you know, they would walk out, play the music, and the fighters would stand on the stage of the walkway for, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds before actually walking to the ring.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know what? I'm going to have to sort of... I guess we see things a little bit different to me because I kind of look back at you know, you look at Glory, they have those intros, those long, you know, walks to the ring, and also I like I was actually posted on Facebook recently. I was looking back through some old, you know, fight videos and things like that. I mean, I remember Pride back in the day. I mean, they were crazy with their intros too, and everybody sort of gave it that WWE feel. And I don't know, man. I kind of miss that sort of over the top. Would you rather just them walk in and slug it out?
In a way.
I'm
not a big fan of, yeah, you know, you want to play your own song, you want to, you know, walk in your own way, that's fine. I just don't necessarily agree with whole show aspect of it.
All right.
It's a fight. It's not, you know, it's not what's the word I'm looking for?
What?
It's not a soap opera. It's a fight.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Some people like that type of entertainment with their fighting. And I think I think we were talking about this off air a little bit a while back, and we were discussing the whole how Glory sort of tickles the fancy of American audiences. And I think Americans sort of like that over the top entry. Not everybody, obviously you're not one of them, but I didn't mind the intros too much. I actually thought they fell a little flat. I actually thought they should be louder.
Well, maybe that's the issue I had with it, that it was there, but it wasn't necessarily great. Like, I like the intros in Glory. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're better. Like, I feel like if you're going to do that type of intro where you're going to stand there and put on a little show, at least make it big.
Oh, okay. So you're basically saying if you're going to do that, then milk it. If you're not going to milk it, then just don't do that.
Exactly.
All right.
I wasn't impressed with it is my point.
Okay. I got you. All right, so we'll move on from that. I mean, also, the commentary, like I said, Pat Miletich, as much as I love the guy when it came to MMA, he's an incredible fighter. I just seen him in Lion Fight. I've seen him in now at Legacy Kickboxing. I don't know, man. I guess it's a contract that he has with Access TV, because a lot of people that I've seen in Facebook and everything that are diehard Muay Thai fans don't seem to like the guy too much either when it comes to Muay Thai. Number one, he pronounces it Muay Thai all the time, and that just drives me up the wall. And then at the same time, I just feel like he has this incessant need to continue to like sort of hit on like whether a fighter, you know, wrestled in college or does MMA on the side, or, you know, he talks about like, oh, this would have been awesome if it was an MMA fight and he could have taken him down with that, but oh, you can't do it here because it's Muay Thai rules. So it almost seems like he's sort of, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not trying to do that, but it seems almost condescending. Like he's trying to say, you know, MMA is better, but this is Muay Thai. This is what we're going to do today. And, you know, like, this is where MMA guys come to hone their striking skills so that they move on to MMA. It's almost like talking about how Muay Thai and kickboxing are a stepping stone to something bigger and better, which is MMA. And that's kind of where I take an issue with that, which I think is because his background is MMA. So he's going to talk about what he knows. But it just bothers me because I'm like, we're trying to promote kickboxing and Muay Thai, and you just keep on bringing up whether this guy was a wrestler or what, you know, whatever he did in college, whether he trains MMA and does jiu-jitsu. I mean, I just say, man, talk about what's going on in the fight instead of bringing in, like, you know, stories from your glory days as an MMA fighter.
I agree with that. I mean, if it's a kickboxing fight, there's no reason to mention that, you know, he's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because it's not relevant to what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I think you could say that being a color commentator, you can say that a fighter, you know, does MMA because you're like, oh wow, if you think his striking is impressive, he's also happens to have a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But the thing is, it should be, to me, honestly, I feel like it should be something that is just an added part to the conversation. But it seems like he just sort of continues to dwell on that and bring it back in no matter what happens during the fight. Oh, you know, that would have been awesome if it was an MMA, but this is not MMA, but that was a good MMA takedown, you know, stuff like that. It's like, he just consistently goes back to it, which, like I said, I don't blame him in some way because that's really his background. But I just wish, you know, sometimes I'm like, man, you know, you have guys like Michael Chiavello who know more about Muay Thai and have been in the game for a long time. And you have plenty of other guys that have, you know, solid Muay Thai backgrounds, or bring in some of the fighters. I mean, bring in a Kevin Ross or a Joe Schilling or somebody to do the color commentary, somebody that really knows what they're talking about and has, you know, is active or is fighting actively and knows what they're talking about when it comes to Muay Thai and has that passion for Muay Thai. You know, have your ringside announcer, which is going to be your guy that has the good voice and can, you know, he's the play-by-play guy, and then bring somebody in that's like, you know, really, really in the Muay Thai scene. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right, so moving on. There was another thing, the refs. I thought there were a little bit of some weird standing eight counts there. I think we'll talk about that a little more when we go into some of the fights where that happened. But fight of the night to me, Vinny, I don't know what you think. I really like the Marco Piquet versus Michael Corley fight. I think it was the most solid demonstration of Muay Thai besides the co-main event. I mean, the main event, which was Cosmo Alexander. But Marco Piquet really stole the show. Michael Corley wanted to have that rematch of a fight they had in Suriname, and Marco Piquet definitely wasn't going to let him win on home soil.
No, it definitely was the fight of the night. But now, talking about it, you keep mentioning Muay Thai. Obviously, this event, the rules were kickboxing.
Yeah.
Which is different than Muay Thai. But what I noticed is it seems like all of the fights, every fighter trains Muay Thai because they keep wanting to go to use those Muay Thai techniques. When they clinch up, they want to do the sweeps. They want to throw the knees. You know, when they catch the legs, they want to sweep. But for some reason, all of these big events are kickboxing rules. I don't understand why they don't just go with Muay Thai rules, because that's what majority of people train.
The thing is, I think what happened tonight is that we had a lot of fighters that were strictly Muay Thai fighters that were fighting kickboxing rules. You know, all these guys like Marco Piquet, who described his style as Muay Thai with K1 influences. Michael Corley is pretty much a Muay Thai fighter as well. Cosmo Alexander. I think the only really hardcore Dutch fighter that we could see. Well, I mean, you have Pat Barry that was pretty much has that style, has fought in K1, has fought in Glory. And then you also had the kid that fought at the end there against Cosmo Alexander, Regan Irsel, who's also comes from a kickboxing background. But yeah, I mean, I think the Muay Thai guys are always going to, honestly, man, as a Muay Thai fighter, and you're a Muay Thai fighter yourself, I think it's really hard to break away from that style. And I understand what you're trying to say, which is you want to kickbox. I mean, why not just go Muay Thai? I don't know, man. I think kickboxing, for some reason, people are finding it maybe more exciting because there's no clinch. There's no break. I mean, in breaking the action, so it just goes pretty quickly. And then there's three rounds instead of five rounds. I think it's more of a, sometimes it might be more of a just time issue, production issue, but it could be that Legacy thought that Glory was having more of a success than Lion Fight and felt that that was the way to go and decided to go with that. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, here's my thoughts on it. I think that honestly, in order for it to grow in this country, they should do a mixture of both rules. Do like, remember, you know, years ago when we used to go to the events, when you know, our team was more active, it was called modified Muay Thai. So obviously in kickboxing, they don't allow elbows, which, all right, it's fine. Modified Muay Thai was no elbows, but if you clinched, as long as it was active, they would let it go for 3 to 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. So for American fans, it won't get boring because it's active. And if it does get boring, they break it up because it only goes 3 to 5 seconds. Now, when you catch a leg, you're allowed one or two strikes, which sometimes could be very exciting when someone catches a leg and sweeps out the leg. The other guy goes flying in the air, falls on the floor. That's exciting to see. Mm-hmm. So my thoughts would be for them to go to a modified Muay Thai rules.
But is that just for Legacy kickboxing, or you think Glory should do that too? Because Glory, I mean, is kickboxing.
I mean, Glory is doing well. The fights are exciting. But, I mean, maybe I just have a biased opinion. I think they should go that route too because it is exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting to see people get thrown on the floor.
Yeah, but you're also coming from, like, playing devil's advocate here. You're also coming from looking at an event like Legacy Kickboxing where pretty much a lot of the guys that were fighting on that event had a Muay Thai background or an MMA background, which means that they're going to catch legs and they're going to try to throw, and that's not allowed in kickboxing. So it's a little hard for some of these guys, especially some of these guys that weren't making some of their debuts. They probably trained Muay Thai, but then they went into a kickboxing match to sort of break from that Muay Thai style. Because, like, if we go to Glory and then you see guys like Robin Von Roosmalen, you see guys like Andy Risti, Giorgio Petrosian, these are guys who have so much experience in the kickboxing circuit that they don't make those mistakes, or they already kind of know how to limit themselves and they know what rules they're playing by. Although, you know, flip side of that is Cosmo's been in the game a while too, and I think he caught the legs and he knew clearly what he was doing. You know, he was using those throws even though he wasn't supposed to. And there was a point where Pat Miletic said, well, you know, the rule is that you can try anything once. So, and I think he did. Cosmo was trying to kind of establish, you know, I got tricks up my sleeve, even though I can't use them, but I'm going to use them. I'm going to use them if I don't get warned for them. So I don't know, man. I think there's a, you know, Lion Fight has its Muay Thai rules. Legacy Kickboxing obviously trying to do the Glory rules, but they're bringing in fighters that some of them have more of a Muay Thai background, so you're going to see that happen. But I understand the bias, because I am the same way. I love the traditional style of Muay Thai, but I've slowly started taking on to Glory and loving Glory style and the kickboxing style. So as long as fights are happening, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So going back to, like I said, with the fight of the night, Marco Piquet putting on a clinic against Michael Corley. Michael Corley actually had fought Piquet before in Suriname, which is where Marco Piquet is originally from. Michael Corley is from the Houston, Texas area. So Michael Corley, I guess, was trying to, you know, win that rematch against Marco Piquet on home soil in front of his home fans. Didn't exactly go his way. Some vicious knees by Marco Piquet were, you know, cutting through the middle and catching Corley. Dropped him about, you know, it was like 3 or 4 knockdowns throughout that fight until he finally got TKO'd with that with that hook in the end. I thought Michael Corley was going to survive. It looked like he was going to survive, and he was had the chin to try to steal those $1,000 extra fight bonus away from Marco Piquet, but Marco Piquet definitely wanted his $1,000. So he took that from him. So the other fight I wanted to talk about, this is in a way to us, this is a little bit more personal because we know the guy. We've spoken to him a couple times. Pat Barry, man. Honestly, I love Pat to death. For a lot of you guys that don't know, Pat Barry actually came from a background in Sanshao, which is the Chinese kickboxing style. He trained under a gentleman named Sean Liu, who is actually a Shaolin monk who's done Sanshao for I don't know how many years now in China, and he has a school in Louisiana. Pat Barry trained with him for years, and we actually, both Vinny and I, when we started getting into the fight game, Sanshao was our game, and we trained a couple times under Sean Liu and actually met Pat Barry at a couple of those Sanshao shows before Pat Barry became, the Pat Barry we know now. Always a huge talent, man. Always a nice guy. Always been an incredible fighter. I just don't know, man. I kind of, seeing him in the post-fight interview, it seemed to me like, number one, in that fight, it just seemed like he was good, but he wasn't entirely there. A split decision against Demario Dennis. He sort of seemed devoid of confidence. At the end, it seemed like he was just kind of saying, oh man, if I would have lost this fight, I would have hung up my gloves, but this has kind of given me the impetus to keep doing it. But he still said, oh, I only have like 2, 3, or 4 more fights in me. Confidence-wise, man, I just don't see it there. It seems like he's very focused, obviously, on Rose Namajunas, who's his fiance now in the UFC. She's one of the top contenders there as well. So, I mean, I think he's focused on her career. But what did you see, man? You know Pat Barry as well, and you've always been a fan of his.
I thought, Pat Barry, he didn't look like himself. He looked to me like he was a little bit sluggish. He just seems, a little bit like he's just trying to have, stay in the ring, have a little fun because it's what he loves to do. But he's not really looking to, he doesn't really have much goals anymore. He's just looking to have fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, that might be true. I guess I would say the better way of saying it, instead of saying doesn't have any goals, would be just it seems like I think he did what he wanted to do. You know what I mean? I think he's so far he's done what he wanted to do. I mean, he's fought in K1, he's fought in Glory, he's fought in the UFC. So I mean, he's kind of, and you know, he and even though Pat Barry wasn't ever a champion in the UFC, the guy has a fan base because he's just a funny guy. I mean, he's a total character. He knows how to sell the fights. He knows how to sell himself, and he's done really well with that. And he has a great following. People admire him. People like him. And I think he just did everything he needs to do. So I don't know if it seems like this fight seemed kind of forced. I mean, I just hope he, like, if he really decides to continue this at least for a couple more fights, like, just that he's really got his head in the game and this is what I totally want to do and finish out strong. And maybe, because even at the end, you were talking about it. He was just saying, like, I don't want to, if anybody wants to fight me, I don't want to fight. If anybody's been training, I don't want to fight you guys. I just want to be fat and or be chubby and fight, which was hilarious because he just seemed like, whatever, man, I'm just going to go and have fun. And if anybody wants to fight me, let's fight. But just don't be somebody who trains.
Exactly.
So it was that was a little weird, but at the same time, it was just Pat being Pat, and I think that's...
that's his personality.
Yeah. So moving on from the Pat Barry fight, Cosmo, we'll just go through these pretty quickly. Really, Cosmo Alexander, the Muay Thai fighter, now and also in Bellator, doing really well as well in MMA. Cosmo actually used to train at Black Zillions, which is here in Florida where I live. Cosmo used to train with the Black Zillions. Now he's left. He's back in Brazil, training with his team in Brazil, and he faced off with Regan Irsol, another looks like a solid up and comer from Suriname. Vinny was actually texting me during the fights and telling me, "Hey man, these guys from Suriname seem to be pretty impressive. Whether it's Marco Piquet or Regan, it's the Dutch style, man. I mean, I fought in I was telling him joking around. I fought in Suriname a couple of years ago. Got my ass kicked, got myself knocked out by a Surinamese fighter as well. They're tough, man. They're just really strong. And this kid, Regan, I think it was a 22 years old, really young guy, going up against Cosmo, who's 32. He did pretty impressively. I mean, I honestly thought the fight was a little closer. They gave Cosmo the unanimous decision. I thought Irsol took that round three hands down. I gave round one to Cosmo, but I felt round two could have gone either way. And I think Cosmo at the end even mentioned it, said it could have gone either way. So I don't know. How did you see that fight?
I saw it the same way. It could have gone either way. The thing I was happy about was that Cosmo really gave a lot of respect. Like, he won the fight. It was a unanimous decision, according to them. And he didn't just turn around and be like, oh, yeah, I won. You know, he was respectful. He said how tough his opponent was and how it was a good fight. And, you know, I think Suriname is an up-and-coming country in this sport.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been fighting quite a bit. And Andy Riesty, another great fighter from Suriname. I think it's just the influence that they have from Holland. But we're seeing them a lot more now, I guess, prevalent most of the times. I think what happens, though, sometimes with Suriname is that, and this has come from experience being there and then seeing it, since they can travel freely back and forth from Holland, a lot of Surinamese fighters that we know as being from Suriname, a lot of times represent Holland, though they are from Suriname. You got Marco Piquet, Tyrone Spong, Andy Riesty, now this kid Regan Irsol, who looks like a really good up-and-coming talent. So I think that's one of the reasons. I mean, they're solid. And yeah, Cosmo, as always, they don't call him good boy for no reason. I think Cosmo's a great ambassador for what is true Muay Thai. Because of the way he basically handles himself and the way he talks and everything like that. And he's very respectful and he's a great fighter, man. He's a solid, solid fighter. Like I said, in that fight with Regan, it seemed like there was a lot of times where he caught and sweeped Regan and did a couple little Muay Thai tricks there to kind of show him like who had more experience. And Cosmo did a good job in that fight, although I thought it was close. A couple of the last fights we want to kind of go over. Lindsay Haycraft versus Valentina Shevchenko. Lindsay, I actually, talking about Suriname, I fought on a card with her in Suriname. She fought with Denise Kielholtz, which you guys might know as the young lady that just defeated Tiffany Van Soest recently in the Infusion event. Lindsay fought Denise there in Suriname, lost a decision to Denise, but she has also won against Denise as well. Lindsay is a tough fighter, was sort of semi-retired, I guess. Had never actually fought professionally in the United States. She had actually never fought in her home country as a professional. So that was pretty interesting. She was facing off Valentina, who had a ridiculous record going in. I think it was like 55-1. I think Lindsay showed Valentina a little bit too much respect. I really felt that if Lindsay would have pushed her a little bit more, it seemed when she pushed her, Valentina didn't like it too much. Valentina more of a counter fighter. But with that said, Valentina, her reputation precedes her. Very strong. Very powerful counterfighter. She had some nasty, nasty kicks that she was trying to land on Lindsay. Although this is where we were talking about. There was a couple of really weird knockdowns there from teep kicks. And they were called knockdowns, which I don't think were at all knockdowns to be getting somebody, giving somebody a standing eight count for getting hit with a teep kick in the stomach.
Yeah, that was a little bit ridiculous. That happened a couple times, I think, that people got knocked down from kicks to the stomach where it was just pretty much you get pushed back and then end up falling because you lose balance. Like, that should not be considered an eight count. Unless, you know, you're really cringing in pain, then that's a different story. But just from getting knocked down from a kick to the body, no way that should be an eight count.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there was that happened in the first round, a really total kind of, a BS knockdown there. Lindsay stood up. She kind of raised her hands like, why are you giving me a standing eight count? That's kind of where I disagreed with Pat Miletic. He said it was a knockdown, gave the round in his scorecard a 10-8. I don't think that should have been a 10-8. She did win that round, but I definitely don't think that was a 10-8 round. And I think after you sort of feel that you've gotten that knockdown, you have to start picking it up. You get a little bit messier when you start going in because you got to be a little bit more aggressive. And I think that sort of played a part in the fight, although I still think that Lindsay gave Valentina a little bit too much respect. How did you see it?
I think so too. I think Lindsay gave Valentina a little too much respect. I mean, granted, Valentina is very quick and powerful, and she is a counter fighter, but it seems like what they tried to do was say, she's a counter fighter, but let's not attack and let's not play her game and attack and let her counter. Let's sit back a little bit and wait for her to come forward, but that just didn't happen.
Yeah, no, she was very Valentina, basically living up to her experience. She just wasn't taking the bait, as you would put it, as you were saying that they kind of wanted her to come forward a little bit, and she knew that eventually Lindsay would have to attack her, and she kind of used that to her advantage. But there were a couple of times when Lindsay would pick up the pace, and when she did pick up the pace and try to come forward and push Valentina and sort of kind of muscle her a little bit and be a little bit in her face, you could see that Valentina, there was a couple good shots landed by Lindsay. But either way, Valentino's, I mean, she, like I said, she's 55 and one or 54 and one. That was obviously evident there with her, the talent that she displayed in the ring. And a good fight by Lindsey Haycraft, a great win for Valentina. Good to see Lindsey, hopefully back in the ring for a little bit more. She's always been a really talented, sort of flying under the radar female fighter here in the United States because she's been so busy fighting overseas, has fought in Infusion, has fought all over the world in different events, and it's good to see her actually fight professionally in front of her home, well, in her country. Moving on from that one, a real quick brush over Miguel Torres, man, I kind of felt bad. I really wanted to see him win. With Miguel Torres's career, I mean, WEC champion in MMA, sort of was like a hot commodity a couple of years ago. Now he's in sort of secondary events, and now he's coming into legacy kickboxing, trying to show more of a kickboxing style. Fought Angel Huerta. I think you put it best. I said he seemed like simply a better striker. You were telling me a little bit off air, how you felt it was just sort of unorthodox.
Yeah, it was definitely, Angel's very unorthodox. It's when he's coming from different angles, a lot of like a jumping style, jumping attacks, makes it difficult.
Yeah. I mean, and then, there was one thing from there, Vin, that I really, actually, one of the things where I did agree with Pat Miletich was there was a weird sort of straight leg. I don't, it wasn't even a teep. It was like a straight leg kick to the side of Miguel Torres's knee. It seemed like it buckled his knee. It almost, could have hyperextended or damaged his knee. You could see that Miguel Torres went down in pain. That's basically an illegal strike. I don't know why they didn't call anything. I thought that was sort of a dirty strike there from Angel Huerta. Maybe he did mean it, maybe he didn't mean it. But the thing is, where Pat Miletich was, where I said I agreed with him, was those type of strikes, you see them a lot in MMA. I see them from Jon Jones. I see some other guys do that in MMA. And I just think, I don't know why they allow that. I think it's a totally cheap shot because, I mean, we all go into a fight to hurt our opponent in order to win. But nobody wants to hurt. I mean, you just want to hurt him, maybe knock him out or, give him a good body shot and drop him. But nobody's trying to end anybody's career. And I just think that that's sort of a gray area where you can potentially destroy somebody's career if you blow out their knee that way. And I don't know why they didn't call it, because in Muay Thai, it's definitely illegal. And I really didn't like that. And actually, after that, I kind of wanted Miguel Torres to come back and win that fight. But, he did lose the decision. But I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think that was a ridiculous kick. It looked malicious, like he was really trying to hurt him, and there was no reason for that. I mean, when you're fighting someone, like you said, you don't want to end their career. You want to hurt them, but not in a career-ending way. So, I think they should have called that. They should have done something. Maybe deducted a point, or at least they didn't even really give him like a stern warning. They were just like, hey, don't do that. So I agree with Pat Miletich also on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was a little weird, but I also like the fact that he brought it up because I think it happens a lot in MMA too, and I just don't know why they allow that. I mean, obviously there's submissions and all that type of stuff that can be career ending, but that's why you have tap outs, and that's why people get fined if they hold on too long to a submission, even when somebody's tapping out. This is sort of the equivalent because you can potentially end somebody's career if you hold on to an ankle lock or a knee bar too long, you completely ruin their career. But if you kick somebody straight in the knee and it happens to bend in a way that Miguel Torres's did, which you could see he grimaced right away when it hit him. I mean, there should be, whether it was intentional or not, that you have to call it and give, I don't know, either see if he's all right or whatever. That should have been, that should have happened, you know.
Yeah, they should have given him, you know, they restarted the fight right away.
Yeah.
He should have gotten like almost like a groin shot where you get 5 minutes to recover. Like they should have given him a few minutes to like, you know, walk it off, get himself back together and then restart the fight. But they didn't.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think there should have, to me, there should have been a warning because that's sort of a cheap move. And I think if it had happened to anybody else, you know, everybody would be saying the same thing. You know, it's just something that shouldn't have happened. But moving on from there, man. So that's kind of the review from Legacy Kickboxing. Overall, I thought, like I said, Vinny, a little bit, the production was decent. I think they're going to, I think this is, since it's the first event by Legacy Kickboxing, I think we can expect that they're going to only improve from here on. They're probably going to learn from certain things, maybe listen to our podcast and hate us, or basically take some of what we've said to heart and see if they maybe change a couple of things or fix up a little couple of things. But I think it was a good thing. Always, in the end, though, even though we're trying to say, you know, we try to criticize a little bit, in the end, though, what we do have to say is that ultimately, it's awesome for the Muay Thai and kickboxing community in the United States to have more venues where they can do this, you know, where they can practice their the sport. Because right now the two big ones are Glory, Lion Fight. Occasionally, you know, we have the Friday Night Fights events in New York, Warriors Cup also in New York, Christian Tran doing a good job with those as well. But, you know, high-end, high marquee, like the big marquee events, which are Glory and Lion Fight now. Now it seems like they're going to add a new one, which is Legacy. So I hope they only continue to improve. And I think it's going to give more opportunities to fighters in America to grow and really start fighting more often. I mean, we had two fights that we didn't mention that were on the broadcast, but they were two fights where all four fighters were debuting. So that was... that's pretty good. It's just going to show that there's more guys coming into the sport, which is always a good thing. All right, so moving on from there, Vin, we're going to talk about the upcoming events that you guys should all be aware of what's going on. So, Friday Night Fights, January 23rd, longest running kickboxing event in New York City. Vinny, you've been to this event. I know you've talked about, you went to see Marcus Fisher, one of our good friends that's been on the podcast. Rami Ibrahim from Rami Elite in Philadelphia, a good friend. I really like Rami a lot. So I've spoken to him on many occasions when he was fighting on Takeon. Now he has a solid stable of fighters, but he's going to represent and put himself in the firing line, stepping into the ring. Rami Ibrahim will be fighting against Joe Marchand. Joe Marchand is from Mas Muay Thai in Canada. Mas Muay Thai is a great school, home to Ashley Q, one of my favorite female kickboxers, Muay Thai fighters, super fighter. She's fought all over the world. Some great fighters coming out of Mas, and Joe Marchand is one of them. So I think that's going to be a tight fight. You've been to Friday Night Fights, man. How do you like their events? You've been to Friday Night Fights up there in New York.
I haven't been to one in a very long time. I haven't been there since it's the since they're at the new location, the Broad Street Ballroom. But they're, you know, they're good event. There's good fighters. Obviously, like any other event, sometimes the judging is questionable, especially with hometown fighters versus out of town fighters. But it's all in all, it's a good event. I'm actually going to be going to this one on January 23rd. So you know, we'll see how this one goes.
All right, cool. So Vinny will be in the area if you guys are going to go to that event. So moving on from that one, we have Glory 19, Friday, February 6th, the main event, Rico Verhoeven versus Errol Zimmerman. This is actually a big rubber match. Rico and Errol have fought each other on two other occasions before this one. This will be the rubber match because Rico has won one of the fights. Errol has won the other one. Rico actually owns the most recent victory, beating Errol Zimmerman by unanimous decision at Glory 9. And then Errol Zimmerman actually defeated Rico by KO with a nasty uppercut in 2012 at its Showtime. So there's these guys are really gunning for each other. Somebody wants to take home the overall win from this fight. Big announcement there is that Joe Schilling is coming back from Bellator. Tried his hand at MMA. Huge knockout over Melvin Manhoff. And now he's going to be stepping back into the ring, into the Glory ring, which I'm really happy about. Always good to see him. And he's definitely the star of American kickboxing and Muay Thai. Joe Schilling is going to face off with Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas actually got a big win over Mike Lemaire, but he's new to the kickboxing game, new to the fighting game professionally. So he's going to be facing off with what's going to be a stiff test, which is going to be Joe Schilling. Joe Schilling, never an easy fighter for anybody. Always, no matter how you hurt him, no matter if you hurt him, no matter if you come forward or whatever you try to do with him, he is going to come out guns blazing and usually ends with a very exciting fight and a lot of times very exciting knockouts. What do you have anything to add there, Vin? I know you're also a Joe Schilling fan when it comes to his fights.
I mean, you pretty much said it all. He doesn't quit no matter what. You can come at him as hard as you want. He's still going to come right back at you. So obviously, you know, I'm a fan of that no matter who it is.
Yeah. And I like I said, Robert Thomas, coming out of a really reputable gym, had a big win over a really solid opponent, which is Mike Lemaire. But he's going to have his hands full against Joe Schilling. And that is going to be on Friday, February 6th. Also on that event, just to go through it real quick, Nicky Holtzkin is going to fight Alexander Stevchenko from Russia. Another fight is going to be Raymond Daniels, highlight reel knockout last time in glory. A very solid fighter. Comes from actually a point kickboxing, point taekwondo karate background. Has very, very crazy, unorthodox spinning kicks, spinning back kicks, everything like that, and knocks out guys horribly with them. So that's going to be an interesting fight. He's going up against Brazil's Jonathan Oliveira. And then also on the card, Josh Jauncey from Canada versus Max Bowman from Germany. And Andy Riesty is going to come back in that event against Steve Moxon from Australia. Those two guys are very, very experienced. So expect that one to be an awesome, awesome fight. Moving on to there, we're going to talk about Lion Fight 20, February 20th. Welterweight Championship, Jarena Barnes versus Chantal Ugi. Chantal Ugi actually stepping in for Casey Borman. There was going to be three people from Rami Ibrahim's gym, Rami Elite, fighting on this event. Now there's going to be two because Casey Borman was from his gym, but she's actually had to step out due to injury. Rami's really been doing really well with Rami Elite, and some of these guys are starting to go pro and really make a name for themselves. So that's interesting, and that's all going to go down in Lion Fight 20. Jarena Barnes and Chantal Ugi had already fought before. They fought in 2009, and Jarena won that fight by split decision. Both fighters have gotten better. Both fighters have improved. And it's really going to be interesting to see. But I think Jarena has been a little bit more active because, I don't know, Chantal kind of fell off for a little bit. And then we're hearing about her. I think she came back, started fighting again in 2012 or was fighting a little bit more actively. But it's going to be an interesting fight for sure.
This is actually the first time I've heard anything from Chantal in a while.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like I said, I know she's constantly training. She was in and out of traveling from Thailand and was living in Thailand at one point. We actually did a short little documentary of her at Muay Thai's life and her life while she was in Thailand. She was training at Noparat's gym and a couple of other really high-end people that I know. I think she's back in Italy now. And Jarena Barnes, obviously, highlight of her career, beating Christiane Cyborg. Really, really, obviously a really tough fight, highlight fight, because Christiane Cyborg was coming out of MMA to actually fight a Muay Thai fight. Stepped in the ring with Jarena Barnes, who is undefeated at this point in her career, and Jarena Barnes kept that streak going. Also on the card, Chris Mosseri, who fought Kevin Ross recently, put up a great fight against Kevin Ross, and he's actually going to fight a man that beat Kevin Ross, Siddhi Sak, a Thai fighter, who that fight was actually really, really exciting. Siddhi Sak opening up Kevin Ross with a couple of elbows. You know, those guys, Kevin Ross, Joe Schilling, all those guys, the more you hit them, the more you get them to bleed, I think the more dangerous it is for you being on the other end, because they just continue to come forward, which is why it makes them so exciting. Also, Jason Andrada was going to face off with John Nofer, and Gaston Bolaños versus Caleb Archer. And another good fight there to take a look at is Tim Amarin from Rami Elite in Philadelphia. He's actually going to be fighting versus Bryce Lawrence, who is who is from my neck of the woods. Well, he's from Florida, from Naples, Florida. Bryce Lawrence is going to be making his pro debut, so that's going to be an interesting one as well. Comments, Vin, are you excited for some of the upcoming fights? I know, like you said, you're going to Friday night fights. Anything going on in your neck of the woods in New York?
I mean, it's pretty quiet besides for Friday night fights coming up. Not many other events. I mean, there are a couple small-time events here that are pretty good. I mean, I'm not sure when the next one is taking place, but there's amateur event called Battle Rock out in Rockaway, Queens. That's a good event. But other than that, it's been fairly quiet.
All right, so next one is Friday Night Fights, the longest running kickboxing event in New York. They've always been solid, pretty solid events, and Rami Ibrahim's fighting, like we said, Joe Marchand. All right, guys, so that's pretty much it for our podcast, but we're going to actually give you a couple of updates. One of the things is on February 1st, we are going to have our next episode of the podcast, and we're actually going to be sitting down with Timo Rouge. Now, if you don't know that name, you should. Timo Rouge is actually behind the website and Facebook group Muay Thais. If you haven't heard of Muay Thais before, pretty much any fight, a lot of the fights that you guys have been watching on YouTube of everything that's going on in Thailand, all those big fights that are going on in Thailand, Muay Thais, Timo Rouge is usually the guy behind the scenes filming those events. He's really the one that's been keeping us up to date with everything that's going on in the Muay Thai scene in Thailand. And he's now living in Thailand, and that's going to be really exciting to talk to him a little bit more in depth about the Muay Thai scene in Thailand. A lot of interesting things and developments going on in that. All right, so pretty much that's it, guys. Vinny, how can they contact you? They can contact me first. I'll say my social media stuff. Eric@MuayThaiIsLife.com. You can contact me there if you wish to basically make any suggestions about the podcast, or just, badmouth me and say that I suck. You can totally do that as well. I'm also on Twitter at EricRD1982. You can contact me. That's my personal Twitter, but we're also on Twitter at MuayThaiIsLife. On Instagram at _MuayThaiIsLife. Obviously, the main website, MuayThaiIsLife.com. And then as for the podcast, you can find it on our main website, or you can find it now. It's on the Stitcher app. Make sure you download that on iTunes or on your app store for your iPhones. You can also download that app on Google Play Store. And the other thing is that with Stitcher, you can actually listen to hundreds of different podcasts, such as Joe Rogan's, the Joe Rogan Experience, The Fighter and the Kid. There's a ton of different podcasts on there. So get that on your phone so you guys can listen to The Striking Corner. We're also available on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/The Striking Corner. And we're also on iTunes. So Vinny, how can they get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me is Vinny@MuayThaiIsLife.com. Quickest and easiest way.
All right. So Vinny@MuayThaiIsLife.com. I will stress it's Vinny with a Y. Vinny@MuayThaiIsLife.com. So guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. Really just we're diving into 2015. We got a couple of more exciting podcasts coming up, trying to get a lot of different fun, awesome people on the show. And guys, stay tuned. It's going to be really, really good from here on out. And hope to speak to you soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.